This is Dairy Radio Now with Bill Baker.
Going after the dairy imitators, Charlie Arnott is with the Center for Food Integrity, gives us an update on how alternative dairy products are selling.
So we continue to see great demand and interest. We haven't seen the same level of repeat purchase in some categories, and it really depends on the specific items. The consensus today is once those products reach parity for taste, texture, and price, then you'll begin to see much greater growth. Now, why have we seen greater growth in fluid milk alternatives? A lot of that really is tied to how those products are used. If it's something you're putting in coffee or you're putting on cereal and the flavor is already being altered by the use, then the flavor, texture, and price is not as relevant, right? I may believe that oat milk or almond milk or whatever is better for me or better for the planet. I may not be wild about the taste, but by the time I put it on my cereal or I get it in my coffee, it's not that bad, so I can tolerate it, right? We haven't seen the same pickup in meat products for that very reason. If you're using it as an ingredient, so let's say that I'm a quick service taco chain and I'm mixing it with a lot of spices and I've got some other fillers and it's just kind of carrying flavor, maybe not such a big deal. But if I'm really relying on it to be a standalone product, then I'm struggling because it doesn't match taste and it doesn't match texture and it probably isn't going to match price right now. But once we see those products come to parity for taste and texture, then we're going to see the growth really accelerate. So it'll be interesting to see when that happens. Now, here's the opportunity, right? Dairy and the other protein sectors have said, what we have to do is we have to attack these alternatives. I would argue that we have a different strategy that's likely to be more successful. And that's to really understand what's driving the interest in these products and how can we be more competitive on those merits. So if the concern is, well, I'm concerned about the impact of cows on the environment. Okay, great. Let's have the conversation and talk about what we're doing. And in fact, the fact, you know, that the actual environmental benefits we see from producing beef and from milk. Let's talk about those conversations. Let's talk about animal welfare. Let's embrace those concerns and engage in that conversation that gives people permission to believe that buying dairy that comes from cows is actually as good or better than with the alternatives that they're seeing, right? So it's not about attacking these as nut juice or something else. And I understand the labeling clarification, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong to ask for labeling clarification. But people are buying these products because they know they're not dairy, right? I mean, the appeal is I've made a conscious choice to buy an alternative. I'm not confused about whether or not this comes from a cow. I'm buying it because I know that it doesn't. So if we can clarify that, and if we want to clarify some of the other nomenclature, that's great. But I don't think that's the driver for purchase today.
So what are the drivers for purchase, and how can the dairy industry be more competitive?
So part of it is embracing their skepticism and concern. So not becoming defensive when someone says, well, you know, I've heard that you know, dairy is just so damaging for the environment, and it's actually one of the primary contributors of greenhouse gases that are causing climate change. Well, that's ridiculous. Climate change isn't real, and cows don't have an impact, and blah, blah. All we're going to do is alienate those people from the conversation, right? So we need to step back, not be defensive, welcome the question, welcome the skepticism, and engage them in a productive dialogue. Say, hey, I really appreciate your commitment to protecting the environment. As a farmer, that's something we've been committed to for generations. You know, we're the original recyclers where we take the grain and the hay that's grown on farms. We feed it to our animals. They produce food for you and your family. And we take the animal waste to fertilize the fields to grow crops again the next year. So this really is one of the more sustainable cycles you'll ever find in nature. And we're proud of that. So it's embracing the skepticism, engaging in the conversation, helping people understand how it aligns with their values, and then giving them permission to choose rather than simply saying, that's bad, here's why it's bad, it's fake, this is real, you got to choose what's real. You've got to embrace the conversation, again, embrace skepticism, and then give them permission to choose.
Charlie Arnott is the CEO of the Center for Food Integrity. For more, go to foodintegrity.org. Coming up tomorrow on our Feed Forum Friday with Dr. Mike Hutchins, we're going to take a look at fresh cows and particularly the calcium levels. That's tomorrow on our Feed Forum Friday with Dr. Mike Hutchins. Thanks for listening. I'm Bill Baker, Dairy Radio Now.